So in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, we're introduced to this young man named Gideon. And we'll read there, starting at verse 11. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'Oh, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.' Then Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?' And he said to him, 'O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh. I'm the youngest in my father's house.' But the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man.' So Gideon said to him, 'If now I have found favor in thy sight, then show me a sign that it is thou who speakest with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to thee and bring out my offering and lay it before thee.' And he said, 'I will remain until you return.'" Let's pray. Let's ask for the Lord's help today. Lord, we thank you, God, today, Lord. And Lord, we understand, God, I understand there's many of us in a very precarious situations, Lord. God, there's decisions, God, that need to be made, that some that had needed to be made weeks ago, God, but we're in this place right now. Lord, and this is our heart, God. Lord, we ask you to show us, Lord. Give us a sign, God. Give each one of us an undeniable sign, Lord, of what you desire in our lives, God, and our heart is to follow you, Lord. But I pray, God, that you'd open up the scriptures to us, God, and give us an understanding, God, that goes beyond the pages of the book, Father. Lord, the spirit of wisdom and revelation come down upon us, Lord. Father, we ask, God, that the spirit of the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit would come, God, and meet with us, God, and open up the scriptures to us, God. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit, God, is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. We thank you today, God. I humble myself, God. I ask that you use me today. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, some of us may be familiar with Gideon, and some of us may not be. So it would probably be good for me to go and give a little background. During this time, because Israel had committed sin and they had forsaken their God, God gave them over to the Midianites, the Amalekites, and also the Arabians. And so what they would do, they basically took over this land, it still belonged to Israel, but they would bring all of their animals, all their camels, all of their flock, all of their people, and the word says that they were like locusts, you know, on the land. And they would come and just ravage the land, you know, and for 7 years they did this, you know. Whenever it was harvest time, you know, they would come in and steal the harvest. In other words, all the hard work that these farmers had done, you know, and they would come and take it over. And so the people of Israel cried out for a deliverer. You know, they cried out for relief and reprieve. Well, part of this crying out, God said that he sent them a prophet, you know, that was going to, you know, show the way. And then he sent them the deliverer, the judge, who was Gideon. And so we pick up this story, you know, and just to get an idea, I was doing a little background, you know, and they actually found it in 1929 and 1930, an American archaeologist actually found these grave, or they basically call it grain pits, you know, and what the Israelites would do, they would dig these huge pits and store grain and kind of hide it, you know, and these two American archaeologists actually found a bunch of these pits, you know, all over the place, you know, that actually still had a little bit of grain in it, apparently. You know, and so to show, you know, that they were hiding, they were fearful, they were confused, they were lost. You know, and so the angel of the Lord, and this is what you'd call typically in theological terms, this is what you call a Christophany. A Christophany would be a human appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Right, and so, you know, you have this in Genesis, you have this in Jacob when he wrestles with the angel, you know, that was Jesus in human form. That was a Christophany, right? And so Jesus is appearing on the scene as the angel of the Lord, and there's a discourse that happens. And I want you to catch something that he says. He says that he says, "Valiant warrior, the Lord is with you." You know, but what Gideon is doing at the moment when the angel comes, he's hiding in a wine press, you know, threshing wheat. In other words, he doesn't want the Midianites to come and steal, you know, what's theirs. And so he's hiding. Now, that's a really, really interesting picture, right? I mean, can you imagine, you know, you are running away from something, you are cowering and hiding, and then the Lord comes to you and says, you are my valiant warrior, right? You know, a lot of times how we view ourselves is not exactly how the Lord views us. Very interesting, isn't it? Right? I mean, you could look very plainly at the text and see that guy's a coward. You know, I mean, he's a weasel. You know, he can't even stick up. You know, you think he'd be on, you know, with a sword in his arm, you know, hand and fighting the Midianites when they come. No, he's hiding underneath. In fact, the wine, most wine presses are not really that high. And so he'd literally be squatting underneath, threshing the wheat, you know, separating, you know, the kernels from the wheat. You know, and the angel says, you are a valiant warrior. Why? Well, the answer actually is in a couple of verses down. Listen to what Gideon says. Gideon says, if, right, let me read it very carefully. He says, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Right? That was a comment. He said, Lord, if you are with us, then why am I in this situation? Right? Why are we in this mess? Why am I threshing wheat in a wine press? Why am I afraid for my life? See, it was his attitude that made him valiant. You know? In other words, he wasn't accepting status quo. He wasn't accepting the situation. He was saying, there's something wrong with my present situation. You know, if, Lord, you're with us, why am I in this mess? It could be very well translated to our lives. Lord, if you're my God, why don't I have a job? You know, if you're my Lord and Savior, why am I so confused? Why am I in this mess? You know, why are all these things going on? If you're the Lord, what is going on here? And the angel of the Lord turns to him and says, go in this, your strength. What was Gideon's strength? Because he saw something wrong with his present situation, right? He was not keen to just accept as status quo what was happening. You know, he says, Lord, if you're the Lord, if you're going to deliver, then why are we in this mess? You know, in other words, Lord, I am not experiencing what I should be experiencing. I do not have in my hands what I should have as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with this picture. And the angel says, you got it. You got it. That's why I'm going to use you. Because now you understand. See, it starts when we get a little fed up. Huh? Come on, church, right? It starts when we look at our situation and say, well, this is a life that Christ has for me. Well, this is a life I'm living. I'm not going to stand for it anymore. Right? And he says, go in this, your strength. Well, the story continues on. This is just all background, okay? You know, he's trying to figure out something, right? And in the midst of these desperate times, the angel Lord comes to him and Gideon says something. And I want you to catch this. And Gideon says in verse 17, if now I have found favor in thy sight, show me a sign. Show me a sign. God, show me something. You know, I want to believe you. I want to follow you. Show me something. You know, make yourself real to me in a certain way. You know, if I found favor, Lord, show me a sign. The message, Eugene Peterson's translation of this, puts it this way. In verse 17, it says, Gideon said, if you're serious about this, do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. Right? Real simple. If you're serious about this, God, do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. Just real simple, Lord. Just show me a little something. You know, it's not bad to ask God for a sign. Turn to your neighbor. Say, hey, good looking. Hey, good looking. It's okay to ask Jesus for a sign. Right? Now, I'm going to try to break this down because maybe some of you in different churches, different backgrounds, you've heard that this is a no-no. Right? And I'm going to address some of this stuff. But let's look at the text and let's see, you know, you know how the Lord will speak to us, right? It's okay to ask Him for a sign, right? There'll be many times in our life where you'll be very desperate, right? There'll be many times where you'll be at the end of your rope. You know, times when you feel so lost, so confused, you know, really so beaten up. That's where the Israelites were at. You know, can you imagine working hard for a whole year, right? Planting, you know, watering, you know, fertilizing, I mean, getting everything ready, you know, tilling the ground. And from the whole year's work, you get to harvest. And next thing you know, these guys come in and steal everything you got. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? Can you imagine doing that for 7 years? Right? And not only do these guys come in and steal what you have, they totally decimate the land that you own. And you got to start all over again. You know, and then you till the ground, you water it, you take care of it, you fertilize it, all these things, right? And then these guys come back down and take everything you have and then decimate your land once again. These guys were desperate. They were beaten up, beaten down, right? You know, ripped off. You know, I mean, they're in such a situation. And so Gideon, out of his desperateness, says, Lord, I want to believe you with all of my heart. Can you show me something? Show me a sign. Will you show yourself to me? Do me a favor. Back up what you say. You know, this is what he says. And so, obviously, I don't want to read the whole text, but if you haven't read it before, please go on to it. And so Gideon prepares a sacrifice before the Lord, and the angel of the Lord takes a staff and boom, you know, hits the sacrifice, and fire comes and consumes. And then, you know, he disappears, and Gideon gets on his knees and says, oh God, you know, basically he's like, I'm going to die. I saw God face to face, you know, and the word comes and says, don't worry, you're going to live. Don't be afraid. Right, this is why we know it's a Christophany, right? Because no man can see his face and live. And so, you know, and so he thinks he's going to die. Because now he says, oh my God, I've seen God. I've seen the angel face to face. You know, and now he knows that this is God. You know, he knows what he's supposed to do. You know, and so he goes off and he takes some people, and the first order of business was to take care of all these idols, you know, that his fathers and all the people worship. You know, and so he comes and he takes care of the idol, you know, and then, you know, his countrymen want to kill him. And his father actually names him. He changes his name to Jerubbabel. In other words, one who contends with Baal. You know, and so we continue on the story. And now these guys are surrounded. So we're moving on in this chapter. They're surrounded now by about 5-6 different enemies of Israel. And God's telling Gideon to fight, right? And so he comes to this part here. This is beautiful. Then Gideon, remember, Gideon asked for a sign before, right? And God showed himself. Now Gideon takes it a whole nother step. This is the story of the fleeces. In verse 36, and Gideon said to God, if thou wilt deliver Israel through me, as thou hast spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and is dry on the ground, then I will know that thou wilt deliver Israel through me, just as thou hast spoken. And it was so. When he arose early in the next morning, to squeeze the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Wow. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? And so basically, now, it's a greater test in his life. You know, and so, you know, he's surrounded. These are not soldiers, by the way. You know, these are just regular farmers, you know. And he's gathering people from all over so that they gather this kind of minute little army. You know, and he says, Lord, if you really want to deliver Israel through me, the least of the son of Manasseh, you know, just this little dude, you want to do this through me? Okay, let me give you another one. God, I'm going to take this piece of wool. I'm going to throw it out to the field. And in the morning, if the ground is dry and the fleece is wet, then surely I'll know that you want to deliver Israel through me. And it happened. Right? And so much so that, you know, and it wasn't like, you know, a little dew, right? The scripture says that he actually wringed the fleece and it contained a whole bowl of water. And so you think surely Gideon would move. No, he doesn't. Let's read on further, right? And then in verse 39, then Gideon said to God, do not let thine anger burn against me that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Now let it be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground. And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. So he comes to the Lord and says, first of all, God, if you can make the ground dry and the fleece wet, then, oh yeah, I'll serve you, man. All right, it's done deal. And the next day he says, well, okay. Lord, I appreciate you doing this, but can we do one more little thing, right? If you can make the ground wet and the fleece dry, then surely, right? It's the next morning, right? What if Gideon swims to the fleece and grabs a hold of, right, a dry fleece, and then he moves and he attacks, right? Now, if Gideon could do something like this, how about us? Is it okay to ask God to show us? Is it okay to ask him 2-3 times to show us something? You know, does it go beyond our bounds? You know, would this be, you know, testing him? You know, I mean, if it could happen for Gideon, how about for me? Even layers of tests, you know. The first time in my life that I never heard of this ever before, you know. And when I was my first year that I became a Christian, I met the Lord Jesus Christ in April of 1992, you know, and towards probably about, I'm trying to figure out my timeline here. This would have been in the winter of 92, right? And so I was dating a girl. She's actually my high school sweetheart, right? We dated for 7 years, you know, and she surely was going to be my wife, you know. We even lived together for a year, right? You know, I was a good pagan, right, back in the days and stuff. And so I don't recommend you doing that. That's called sin and stuff. So, but I was living in sin. And so I'm in this situation. And we weren't living together at the time, and I was going to school, and I had given my life to the Lord, and I just really sensed that God wanted to do something with my life. You know what I mean? I just sensed that God didn't save me for nothing, you know? And so, and I knew that one of the obstacles was my girlfriend, you know? And so, long story short, I was sitting in my car, my truck. And one of my best friends at the time, and he's actually one of the first guys that really taught me how to pray. One of my best friends was really confronting me about this, you know, like, hey, you know, God really wants to do something in your life. You know, your girlfriend's basically holding you back. What are you going to do about it? You know, it's just kind of those kind of conversations, right? And so we're in the car, and I was just, you know, and so we just decided to pray. I said, all right, let's just pray. And while I was praying, I kid you not, man, I'm praying in the car, and my neck just gives out. You know, have you ever had this experience? Like, you know, I've gotten whiplash before. You know, in other words, you kind of lose all your muscles in your neck. You know, and I was in my truck, and I couldn't move my neck. You know, I lost all strength in my neck. You know, and the only thing that was holding my neck up was my headrest in my truck. You know, and I was thinking, what's going on here? And my friend, who's very prophetic, you know, he turns to me. And I'll never forget it because I was so scared, right? He turns to me and he quotes a verse from, I think it's from the book of Isaiah. And it says, you stiff-necked Israelites, I will break you beyond repair, right? And I was like, thanks, bro, right? That's what prophets do. They give you the word of the Lord. And his interpretation was, Sam, don't be so stubborn. You are stiff-necked. You know, in other words, you're so into your own will. You know, you want to do what you want to do. You know, and God needed to break me from that in order to do what he wanted me to do, which would be the joy of my life, you know, that I'm doing right now. And he said this, you stiff-necked Israelites, you know, I'll break you beyond repair, right? And so that scared me. And so I was, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you know. Just please bring my neck back, right? You know, and this is kind of a, if you're a young believer, you have to follow along with me. This is my true story, right? This is kind of prophetic act or prophetic sign. Sometimes God will do stuff in our bodies, you know, that are a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual realm, right? And that was happening. And so my friend Steve, he turned to me and says, Sam, let's lay out some fleeces. I was like, what's that, right? Again, right, I don't really know the Bible that well. It was, let's lay out some fleeces, you know. And he showed me in Judges, you know, that Gideon, you know, was really confused and really wanted to do something but didn't know. And so he laid out some fleeces, you know, and he said, let the ground, you know, the whole thing I read. And I thought, that's a fantastic idea. You know, let's do this. Let's lay out some fleeces. You know, and in my mind thinking, there's no way this is going to happen. But at least when I lay out the fleeces, it's now on him and on God. And I no longer have a part in this decision, right? That's escapism, you know, on my part. And so I said, okay, let's lay out the fleeces. So we laid out fleeces. And I just sat and I thought about, okay, what would it take for me to break up with my girlfriend of 7 years, right? That both of our parents knew that we were going to get married. I actually even bought her a promise ring. You know, a promise to be engaged, right? Not engagement ring. I've only been engaged once, right? You know, married once as well. And so we're, you know, at this stage. And so I said, okay, here's my fleeces. I said, Lord, number one, she needs to initiate the breakup. I can't bring it up. She needs to do it totally on her own. Number two, she can't cry, right? Most women, let me give you a little secret, right? Men are butter when you cry, right? And stuff. And so I said, she can't cry. There's no way. I just busts me up. I can't handle that, right? And then number three, she has to be totally okay with it. You know what I mean? I mean, not like she does it like with like, I don't want to do it, you know, but it's like totally free to do that. And so I laid out those three fleeces. I said, okay, if these things happen, I'm going to break up with her. Surely, Lord, you're with me if this is going on, right? So I get home that night, you know, and I'm honestly thinking, maybe in 2 years' time, God will deal with this thing, right? You know, maybe eventually she'll get sick of me, you know, telling her about Jesus all day long and stuff. And, you know, she already thinks I'm a Jesus freak, right? And so now she's just going to, so I'm thinking a few years down the road, this is going to happen. I get home that night, and I'm honestly so exhausted from thinking about this for so long, right? It's been on my heart for months, right? I fall asleep, you know, and I'm awakened by a phone call. And it's this girlfriend of mine. She calls me and we have a conversation. And all of a sudden she says, you know what? It's not the same as it was before, isn't it? I go, what do you mean? We seem to have lost touch with one another. Really? You know? And we seem to be going on different paths. Right? And I'm just trying to play really cool and stuff, right? And she shares all this stuff, and she basically initiates the breakup. And she goes, I don't think we're really right for each other at this point, you know? And she goes on, and she doesn't cry, you know what I mean? And she's totally okay with it. In fact, she's relieved that she's not dating the Jesus freak anymore, you know? And stuff, and I kid you not, I hung up the phone. I called my friend, right? And part of me, I was sad that our relationship was over. I was so thrilled that God answered my prayer in 2 hours. Can you believe that? I thought it was going to take 2 years. He did it in 2 hours, right? And so I called him up, and he wasn't there, so I just left a message on his answering machine, right? And so after a while, he calls me up again, you know, and we start talking. And I told him, I said, you wouldn't believe it, man. You know, I told him the whole story. And he's like, yeah, of course, you know. It's like, that's what God does, man. You know, you man of little faith, right? And stuff. And so we're talking, you know, to one another. And he goes, why don't you write this down in your journal? I thought, that's a great idea. I want to remember this moment for the rest of my life, right? And so I started writing this down in my journal. I was like, oh, God, you know, I'm going crazy. And then I get to this one line. Oh, this scared me to death, man. You know, if you think that word about the neck scared me, this was even more scarier. I started writing down this sentence, and I still have my journal at home, and I wrote down, now I have to trust God for everything. And my pen just exploded out of my hand. I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta really trust God now. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't no game anymore. You know what I mean? This is like the real thing. You know, God is real. You know, this is not just some wishful thinking or I conjure something up. This is real stuff. And now I got to trust God for everything. And I started getting scared. I started hyperventilating, you know. I'm writing this down. And at that very moment, my friend calls me on the phone. I pick up the phone, and Steve is upset with me now, right? You know, I don't know why. And he goes, Sam, he says, what did you do to get into this mess? You know, what did you do? You know, and I was like, I didn't do anything. I don't know. You know, and the word of the Lord was, see, you didn't do anything. God did everything. So trust him, right? And then he began to tell me that at that very moment, he was praying for me. And the Lord told him to call me because I was scared to my wits, which is exactly what happened. It's good to have prophetic friends in your life every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Right? and stuff. And so it was just the most amazing experience. And to honestly, that experience propelled me in my faith. I knew that God was with me. I knew, right, that God had my back. Not because I was anything special, but he is the orchestrator of all these things. You know, and I grew as a result of that. It was those simple fleeces that I laid out. Was I testing God? No, not at all. I was confused. I wanted to obey the Lord. I just was stuck. You know what I mean? There was just too much of me involved in this process and too little of God. And I was crying out for mercy, saying, God, I want to obey you, Lord, but I'm stuck. I just don't have the will. Lord, would you show me something? Will you prove yourself to me? Show me, God, and I'll follow you, right? And I did, and I have been ever since, right? Will, why don't you come up? I asked Will to come up and share a little bit, but, you know, a lot of people may think, well, Pastor Sam, you're a pastor. You know what I mean? You know, you're a man of God. These things happen to you all the time. Okay, that's fine, right? But Will is normal, you know? Yeah. Well, he's a normal person, a little abnormal personality, but we'll take it at that, right? And so Will had a similar episode, I mean, not as grandiose, you know, himself. And, you know, Will also just got laid off. And so God put it on his heart to attend this conference in the States, you know, that he really wanted to go to. But, you know, the funds weren't there and all these things. And so I'm going to interview Will because I don't want him to go crazy on the mic, right, and stuff. So, and so, Will, can you just give us a little background on this particular situation?
I just felt like God was leading me. And so I shared that with my intercessor prayer team. And one of the sisters shared was that, hey, why don't you ask God to provide for the finances for the whole trip? And so I was like, sure, why not? Because I have so much faith, right? Of course, I didn't have any faith. So, but like we had about 7 days to confirm the flights, you know, all that. Like it was less than a week time, and I trusted God that He'll provide in the longer term for my job, you know, for the finances and things like that. But if once you set a time limit of 7 days, it's like, God, are you really gonna come through in the next 7 days? And I'm not gonna tell people, I'm not gonna ask people for it, and you know, like, are you going to suddenly come up in a dream to somebody and say, hey, give this guy this thing? Or, I don't know, like, I have very little faith. So
what exactly did you ask specifically, right, to the Lord? Or what were the fleeces that you laid out? And you shared a little bit, but can you be a little more concrete?
Okay. So actually, it wasn't my intention to lay out the fleeces. It was actually somebody else said, hey, why don't you lay out the fleeces? I'm like, I very reluctantly did it. But the fleeces were a bit, the trip was going to cost anywhere between 15,000 to 18,000. And the fleece was, God, would you come and provide within the next, probably like 5 days actually, 5-6 days, but I had to leave on a flight in like a week. Would you come and provide the financing supernaturally, pretty much without me asking people for it.
Mm. Right. So, because I know part of this story. Actually, I was going to San Diego during that time, and I was going to another conference. And so I said, without knowing all this was going on, I said, why don't you come with me? I actually rebuked him because he couldn't make a decision. Right, and I said, man, you know, why do you have to be so spiritual? You know, just make a decision already. And so I had to repent afterwards, you know. But there was all different aspects. It was like his flight. And you want to share about the specific provision that happened?
So what happened was, that was Saturday when we prayed with the intercessory prayer team. Sunday, I got an anonymous offering, which covered the conference fee. And then, I think around Tuesday, somebody offered to pay for my flight using that person's miles. And then, somebody else covered my other conference fee. And then somebody else, totally all different people, right? Somebody else basically is driving down from Seattle. You guys know Kevin, right? He's flying down from Seattle to come to LA so that he can drive me around, so he can take care of the car, you know, rental charges, and also part of the hotel. And then somebody else gave me some spending money.
Wow. And all this happened without asking anybody. God just spoke to people as the fleeces were laid out. So how has this impacted you?
Well, I had very little faith. I actually didn't want to do it. I was like, it's okay. I kind of don't want to, you know, ask, like, kind of test God. I was like, is it okay to even do this? But I realized the reality was I had very little faith. So I didn't want to ask God. But then, you know, as God provided, I was just looking. I actually wrote down a list of things that I needed, and I was just checking. And I was like, oh my gosh, I actually have to go now. like now I can't deny that that you're asking me to go. So I was like, wow, you really, even when there's a time limit, you really still come through and, you know, answer our prayers.
Amen. That's good. Thanks, man. Amen. Well, there's another really cool wrinkle to the story, because God kind of put everything together. You know, I was actually flying out that Saturday morning to go to Florida to speak at a church that weekend and then come back to Hong Kong. And we'll need a ride from San Diego back to Glendale, where his aunt lives. You know, and so, and that's like a three-hour drive, you know, and I was really kind of stressing personally, and I was trying to figure out how we can go there. I got like a train schedule and a bus schedule, and I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. Well, we are at the conference, and Friday night, we're at the conference, a different conference, you know, that I signed up to go to, and we're sitting there, and who do I meet? I meet my college friends from Berkeley. I haven't seen this guy since I left Berkeley years and years and years ago. And they drove him to his aunt's house. You know what I mean? I mean, this is just God just being God, you know? I mean, I was really kind of worried, because I was thinking, God, you provided every step of the way. You know, and I was thinking, if I buy that train ticket, that would almost be a lack of faith on our part. You know, I didn't share this with Will, right? And stuff, because it was, you know, and sure enough, man, we get to this conference, and yeah, I haven't seen this guy in ages. You know, I mean, just, you know, it's been about 15 years I've seen this guy, you know, and it gives him a ride all the way to his house from San Diego all the way to Glendale, right? God really moved. It was just amazing. All right, this is, please, there's a little ringing going on, can you fix that? You know, now let's go back to the text here, right? Is it okay to ask God for some help, for a sign or a fleece? You know, as Peterson says in his translation, for a favor, right? For a favor, if we're willing to do his will. Well, let's look at, you know, invariably people will ask me, well, Pastor Sam, how about when Jesus says that signs are for an evil generation? This is Luke 11:29. Let's turn there. Luke 11:29. He says, and as the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign. Yet no sign should be given to it but the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. There's another passage in Matthew, which probably gives a little better background. The scribes and the Pharisees come up and say, show us a sign, right? In other words, show me something. And Jesus begins to share the same text we read in Luke here. Now, the sign translated is a testing miracle, right? In other words, they wanted to see a miracle. They wanted to see something tangibly in their eyes, supernatural. You know, and so they asked, you know, Lord, show me a miracle. You're like, come on, give me something to believe. You know, and Jesus says, you perverted generation, you seek for a sign. Right? And no sign should be given but the sign of Jonah. Let me break down the scripture in a little way. The sign that Jesus was talking about was himself. He is the sign, right? You know, just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, the Son of Man will be to this generation. In essence, Jesus answers the Pharisees and the scribes. He shows them the sign, which is himself, will be later manifested at the resurrection. You know, one thing that I want you to see, you know, in kind of understanding here, right? The rulers, be very clear, they're asking Jesus for a miracle, right? You know, they're saying basically, show yourself to us. You know, and he said very simply, even if you see with your eyes, you still won't believe, you know? What God is, or what the Lord Jesus is dealing with, he's dealing with an issue of heart. He's dealing with an issue of heart, right? There are many times in the scriptures where people asked him for signs and he was not offended by any means. You know, in fact, he showed himself to people, right? Why? It's an issue of the heart, right? These scribes and Pharisees came up to him. They didn't want proof. You know, I mean, deep inside, even if he showed them, they still wouldn't believe. It's attitude and heart. God, Jesus saw beyond that, you know, and began to really speak into that. And he says, I'll show you a sign, right? And he says, you're looking at him. I'm the sign, right? Would later manifest again, I said, at the resurrection. Well, there's another passage in turn to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is now with Lucifer. And in Matthew 4, verse 7, Jesus says simply, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Right? You should not put the Lord your God to the test. He's quoting from Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is where the passage comes from. Verse 16. Deuteronomy 6:16 is Jesus is quoting this passage. In Deuteronomy 6:16 it says, are you guys there? Okay, it says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. Well, what happened in Massah? You got to go to Exodus chapter 17. I feel like we're playing bumper cars, huh? Or better, connect the dots. In Exodus chapter 17... it's the passage of the water and the rock. Right? What happens in Exodus chapter 17 is the people are thirsty. They start grumbling. They start getting agitated. They start quarreling with Moses. Right? You know, and then Moses says to them, okay, you know, I'm going to tell you what to do. Go to this rock, take the rod, strike it, and water is going to come out. But God remembers Massah, you know, and also called, is it Meribah, right? He remembers so much that the writer of Hebrews in chapter 3 writes about this. And this is what's known as the grumbling in the desert. You know, 5-6 times through the scriptures, they will point to this incident in Massah and Meribah. You know, and it'll be the idea is the grumbling. This is where you tested God. You know, this is the place where you grumbled and quarreled with Moses. You know, and it's a very, very low place, you know, a low life experience, you know, for the Israelites during this time. Now, when they were testing him, what were they doing? Did they want to follow his will? No. Right? They were challenging God. They were quarreling. In other words, their hearts were very far off and far away. When we talk about asking God for a sign, you know, and when we talk about Gideon and his fleeces, we're not talking about an attitude that says, God, show yourself to me. You know, we're talking about an attitude that says, God, I want to follow. Help. Do you see the difference? Huge, huge difference. You know, in Exodus, you know, going back to Judges, Gideon asks this, this is, you know, if I have found favor in your sight, show me a sign. Doesn't that sound very familiar to Exodus 33, where Moses stands and says, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your glory. You know, in other words, show me something. What did God do? Moses, you little punk, you know, how dare you come against me? Don't you know I'm God? He says, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. If you see me, you'll die. So what I'm going to do, and this is a very beautiful poetic, he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you in the cleft of this rock, right? And I'm going to pass, and my glory is going to pass by you, right? God accepted that request. Why? Heart. Actually, Exodus 33, it's a beautiful, talking about the Messiah. Jesus, the rock, was broken for us that we may hide, right, in his bosom, that the glory of God may pass us, pass by us and not kill us. You know, it's a perfect metaphor of the cross, you know, that Christ was broken for us, that we may hide in his righteousness, right, that we may not be judged, you know, and thus enter into wrath. You know, he showed us that because, again, it was a heart issue, right? You know, there's many of us here today, right? And as we are praying about the impossible and as we're really going for it, you know, you're a little confused. You want to do God's will, but it's a bit unshaky, you know? You want to obey, you know, you want to move forward in this, but you're just not there yet. Maybe like Will, you just don't have that much faith. You know? But you want to have it. You know? Maybe you really are seeking the Lord in some matter and you're losing hope. But you don't want to lose hope. Because you know it's the word of the Lord. Church, listen very carefully. It's okay to say, God, will you reveal yourself to me? It's okay to say, God, will you just show me a little something? Just give me a little something. Just to help me along this journey. Right? It's okay. See, the issue is the attitude of the heart. Right? Now, if you're here and saying, God, you know, if this is you, you know, at exactly 12:01, I want thunder to happen, you know? That stuff. Come on. You're an idiot, you know? Come on. That's just stupid. You know what I mean? God has already shown himself to us in so many ways, right? That's not what we're talking about, you know? But if you are sincere, really, if you're sincere, you want to grow, you want to obey God, it's okay to come before the Lord and say, God, will you show me something? I'm a little lost right now. I'm a little confused. I want to obey you. It's tough sometimes, Lord. Can you show me a little something to help me on my journey? Friends, there's nothing wrong with that. Because God loves to reveal himself to his people. God loves to show himself to his people. Right? When the attitude, right, and the atmosphere is there. Right? That's what it's about. It's about our heart. It's about our attitude. So, let me just give you some suggestions, okay? Some suggestions for fleeces. Now, you're going to be very familiar with this term now, right? Number one, don't lay out a fleece for everything. Just plain and simple, right? Right? Don't lay out a fleece for everything. You know, as we are maturing believers, there are just some things that God expects you to obey in. You know what I mean? You don't have to ask God for a sign for something that you know is just so obvious. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? You know, there's things that I ask of Emma that I don't ask of Elise because I just expect Elise to obey. I just expect her to understand because she's older, you know. As we grow in the Lord, you don't have to ask a fleece for everything, you know. God, you know, Lord, what should I wear today? Will you show me a sign, you know? You know what I mean? That's like borderline crazy, right? And stuff. You know, but there's a lot of, you know, kind of, and we kind of do these things in different ways. You know, God, will you show me a sign? should I take the MTR today or should I take a cab, you know, or a bus or a minibus, you know, will you, you know, the first thing that comes, then that's all know, right? But, you know, you don't have to ask God for everything, right? As we mature, right, you should just know what to do at times. Now, there will be other times where it's quite confusing, sure, right? But not for the most minutest details of our life. It's just ridiculous. You know, let's be mature in that. Number two, don't lay out a fleece to further your agenda. Don't lay out fleeces to further your agenda. In other words, you've already made up your mind, and now you just want approval. Right? That's not the kind of attitude that God desires. He desires a mind not made up at all, but a desire that just wants to obey Him. You know, a lot of times, right, we do this. We lay out, because we just want an excuse to obey or disobey. We just want that little loophole somewhere, you know, that we can just enter into that little door. You know, the danger in this is that your mind is already made up, so anything will be a sign. You know what I mean? Like, you've already made up your mind, so that's what you're looking for, so anything could be a sign for you. This is where it gets is so dangerous. It's like this. Have you ever, like, been on the road, you know, especially for us who have ever driven a car, or have you ever been in the market for a car, right? You know, I remember years ago when Lisa and I were purchasing our first car in Hong Kong, and we decided that we wanted to get a Saab, right, a 9.5. We thought, you know, it was cheap, especially secondhand, and good car, reliable, and all these things, and would fit our family. And sure enough, man, I started seeing Saab 9.5s everywhere I went. You know, before I didn't see any of them, right? And now because my mind was already fixed on that, I see them everywhere. You know, I mean, see it at the market, see what I'm driving here, see what I'm there, see it in the cab. I see it everywhere. You know, and that's kind of the danger, because you're so fixated on something, right? Because you've already made up your mind on an issue. Everything is a sign, you know? I remember when I was younger, a very immature Christian, you know, and I really liked this girl, right? I mean, I really liked her and stuff. And I just said, God, if you want me to ask her out, you know, because, you know, we're all afraid of being rejected, right? And, you know, and she was way out of my league, right? And so Lord, if you want me to ask her out, show me something. And so I'd be watching TV, you know, and then the character, you know, and her name was, you know, Sarah, and the character Sarah. Oh yes, that's it. Okay, I'm gonna call her up, right? You know, but that's kind of the, you know, because you're so fixated on something, anything will be a sign, right? And so you don't ask for a sign or a fleece to lay out your own agenda, right? That's not what it's about. It's God's agenda. You bring your place to a place where you have no agenda. You know what I mean? You know, where you're not trying to get approval for something. You know, it's not what it's about. It's very dangerous, because so many signs can come up, right? You know, some of you ask, Lord, you know, do you want me to move to McDonald Road? You know, you're praying about this, and next thing you know, you see McDonald's. Oh, that's it, you know. Surely you want us to move there, right? You know, but because you're so fixated on already. And so you just want an excuse to go ahead with your plans. That's dangerous, friends, right? When we're talking about laying out fleeces, we're not talking about promoting your agenda, right? We're not talking about getting a proof, you know, to do this or that. We're talking about a humble heart that wants to obey the Lord, that doesn't, you know, you're kind of in that place, and if the Lord says it, you're going to do it. Just like Gideon, right? You know, Gideon is at that place, Lord, this is so big, if you say it, I'm going to do it, regardless of the consequences. You know, and he did. You know, he wasn't about furthering, in fact, he didn't even want to do it. You know what I mean? You know, Will is sharing today, he didn't even want to do it, right? You know, and my testimony, I didn't even want to do it. You know, I knew eventually it was going to be done, but maybe years later, right? So we're not talking about our agenda. We're not talking about pushing what we want, right? We're talking about a heart of humility, you know, that just says, God, I want to obey. I want to do your will. I just need a little push in this direction, Lord. Will you show yourself to me? Will you just let me in on a little something, right? Number three, this is really what we're talking about. When we talk about fleeces, right, we should have a heart to obey and an attitude of humility. right? That's what we should have. A heart to obey and an attitude of humility. God rewards. The psalmist says, a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. A heart that's broken, contrite meaning humble, he will not despise. He draws close to the brokenhearted, right? The psalmist will say. That's what we're talking about, friends. You know? We're not talking about challenging God. And sure enough, a lot of people will challenge God, right? You know, but not a lot of people are willing to obey when that challenge comes through. I've seen it many, many, many times, right? I've had friends, we actually had an episode at church years ago, right? We had a guy at church, and he, a very respected lawyer, you know, in Asia, and just had a very superficial faith in a lot of ways, and God healed him one Sunday morning. I mean, just powerfully. You know, I had a word that morning that God was going to heal people. You know, and so during the service, I said, hey, any of you guys are sick, put your hand right where you're sick, you know, and I'm going to pray for you. God's going to heal you. You know, and he was suffering with a throat. There was something really wrong with his throat, and he actually had an appointment that Monday to go see a doctor. He had an appointment already. He wanted to get another opinion, you know, because something was really going on with his throat. He put his hands on there. The moment after I prayed, it was gone, and he just couldn't believe it. You know, and so he goes home and, you know, and cancels the doctor's appointment because he's totally healed, right? And he's just trying to figure this stuff out. Doesn't move him at all. Just doesn't move him at all. In fact, he ended up getting in a big fight with his wife because he denies he got healed even though he can't feel the pain anymore. You know what I mean? It's, you know, people ask for signs, and, you know, and he was before, you know, and all these things. And even when it happens, because the willingness to obey is not there, right? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue, right? Where's your heart today? You know, maybe you're at that place and, you know, really, just, and it's okay, you know? Really, I've been there a lot of times. And say, Lord, man, I sure would love to follow you. I feel like you're challenging me in this, and I would love to go for it. How would you show yourself to me? Just give me a little sign, you know? Push me along in a direction right now, right? You know, it's not like we're asking God for a miracle, right? That's the passages in the New Testament. We're not asking for an attesting miracle. We're asking God for some direction. We're asking God for some push, some leaning, some understanding. Let me tell you, friends, perfectly legitimate as a child of God, right? As long as our hearts are in the right place. Amen? Let's close our eyes. You know, invariably there'll be times when we'll be stuck, when we'll be afraid to make a decision, to move on something. Friends, don't you think our Lord knows that? Don't you think He wants to lead us and feed us? He will make that way. You just need to cultivate your heart and your attitude. Humble yourself. As I lead you in prayer today, maybe there are some of us that are in the same boat as Gideon was. Be bold. Lay out some fleeces. You feel a challenge in something in God. Lay out some fleeces. Give God an opportunity to be God. That was really good. I don't know if you caught that one. Right? I'm gonna write it down in a second, right? Give God the opportunity to be God. And we just humble ourselves and obey whatever He says. Friends, if you have that heart, no matter the confusion in your life right now, no matter the difficult circumstances, God comes through. Psalm 46, a broken and contrite heart He will not despise. So as a time of prayer, lay out those fleeces. And when you get home or whatnot, write them down. Say, God, I want to obey You. God, I want to follow You. Just show me, Lord. Perfectly legitimate prayer. As long as your request jives with the Scriptures, within the bounds of the heart and character of God, you got nothing to lose. So as we pray, let's lay out some fleeces before the Lord, huh?